great thought. And you can think of so many stories where affliction and heartache brings people to Christ. You know, it happens so often, or what looks like affliction to the outside. A real thought, kind of a introduction thought I had tonight before I walked out of the house. I thought it was really neat. I don't know, it might have been just for me. Aniko is in the stage now where she's getting herself dressed. She's my 3-year-old. And she, you'll see her tonight if you see her. She wanted to wear these pink, bright pink and yellow striped pants and a pink shirt and a pink tutu. And she wanted a flower, a little crocheted flower in her hair. And we were leaving, and I noticed her shoes were on the opposite feet. Her pants were on backwards. And I just thought, like, you know, like, how often, you know, when we think about our Father, when we think about the Lord, like, what does he think about? Like, you know, it seems like sometimes we're just kind of messing ourselves through the world. You know, we're oblivious to things. And I just had that moment where it's like, you know, like, the God, he delights in us, and he loves us, and it was a neat thought thinking of her that way. Some thoughts to consider tonight. Let's, if you can stand, and we'll open up the Word. I had some thoughts from the Acts class that we do on Mondays, and from just in the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking about a theme. So if you can open up to Matthew chapter 5. And I'll actually put my finger in Hebrews chapter 12 also. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. This is Jesus preaching. He says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God." And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." And it's in the King James, it's holiness. Without such, no one will see the Lord. So, Father, bless these words, these thoughts. Lord God, I just ask that this is your message. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's kind of a sobering thought, right? That if our righteousness needs to exceed the scribes and Pharisees, and holiness without which none can see the Lord. And in our natural, we can look at these verses. And also in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." It's a quote from Deuteronomy. We have these thoughts that, and the Word teaches us, that our God is a holy God. That our God is a consuming fire. Right, that he's a jealous God, that he's holy, that he's righteous, that he's pure. And we can look at these verses and the people that heard Jesus speak, imagine the thoughts there, where Jesus is saying, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. And the people there in Israel, this is early on in Jesus' ministry, he just called the 12 in the previous chapter. And he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the people that were the righteous people. You know, like when he's preaching this message, when they looked at that, they could see that the Pharisees were the guys. All the people that he was preaching to, they would know that when it comes to righteousness, they were the guys to look to. They were the guys with the robes and the cleanliness and the big long beards. They were the guys. And Jesus said, no, you have to do better than that. And we know ourselves, and we know our lives, and we know that we are not better than that when it comes to our righteousness. We know that, like I mentioned, that we're just kind of running around with our pants on backwards, not really knowing which way is up in a lot of days. And when it comes to righteousness, I mean, we're just happy if we can make it through the day. And Jesus said, your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees unless you don't enter the kingdom of heaven. And that could be a daunting task. You know, like initially we can think, okay, we'll be that guy. We'll work that out. We will be righteous. We will be holy. You'll be holy as God is holy. But that's not the answer. That's never the answer. The answer isn't be better people. The answer isn't be righteous now because that's how you enter heaven. The answer is Jesus. So open up to Exodus chapter 20, please. So here in Exodus chapter 20, we have the giving of the Ten Commandments, right? And Moses going up with God, speaking with God, coming down with the commandments, and he gives them the ten. And then in verse 18, it says, "All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning, the flashes and the sound and the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled, and they stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, or we will die.' Moses said unto the people, 'Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin.' So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the cloud where God was." And the word here in the Hebrew where it says, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen," and "Speak to us and we will gladly listen." We'll be happy to do that. We'll be happy to hear it. If you come down, give us the commandments, but we see the fire. We see the holiness of God. We see the flames. We hear the trumpets, right? We hear the wind and the trumpets, and we see the smoke, and we want no part of that. We want to stand on the outside. We're okay over here, because if we approach that, we will die. We will. We know we will. And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. If we approach that, we will die. Here we have the holiness of God in the Old Testament. We have God meeting Moses on the mountain. We have the fire and the smoke. In Exodus chapter 40, we see the tabernacle erected and the glory of God coming into the tabernacle to the point where Moses had to leave. They put the finishing touches on the tabernacle. The fire comes in. The smoke covers it. The sound of the wind. And Moses is gone. The glory of God, the holiness of God. We see it. And the people knew we can't get too close to it. It's not for us. We are not holy. In 2 Chronicles 7, we also see it when the temple gets built. We see the glory of God filling the temple. We see in Ezekiel 43, he also talks about the glory of God, the holiness of God in the temple. And over again, and God designed a plan for the people to come to him. He said, "Okay, you guys aren't holy. So there's a system in place, and maybe we know it, maybe we don't, that there were the priests, and the priests would come in, and they would set up this the tabernacle, and when Solomon became king, he built the temple, and we have the temple grounds, and we have a system in place where you can come just so far. You can come so far to the holiness of God without getting any further." Josephus, who was a historian at the time, around the time of Jesus, said that the holy place of Herod's temple stood 140 feet high. 140 feet. The doors themselves were almost 90 feet tall, or 49 feet tall, sorry. And we had this compound, and the Gentiles could go a certain way. They can go a little bit in. And this is where, like, Jesus flipped the tables. This is where they sold the animals, the doves. We had the Gentiles were allowed there. A little bit further in, only the Jewish women were allowed. And that's as far as they could go. And on the door there, it says, and they found it in archaeology, that no Gentile may pass this place. I can't remember the exact wording, but they found it. They found a sign that said, "No Gentiles may enter here." So a little bit further than that, we have the Jews. Now the Jewish men can go in, and they can go into the Nicanor gate, and they can approach, just far enough to come face-to-face with the holy place. They have face-to-face with the holy place, and they can see the altar on the left side and the lever of washing where they could wash. They see the slaughter tables on the right side. The left side is the altar. The right side is the slaughter table. And the holy place where the glory of God is in front of them. But they can't enter. Only the priests could enter. But now when we mentioned it in the book of Acts, that God changed it for us. That the God, through Jesus Christ, gave us his Holy Spirit. And he said in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's Paul asking the questions. He said, don't you know? Don't you know that you're now the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that the holiness of God, where people stood afar off and said, we can't go near it, don't you know that that's now residing in you? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thought. It's a mind-blowing thought when we read the Old Testament and we see, but we still know that without holiness, we can't see God. And we know that we have to be holy as God is holy, and we have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And that's where the blood comes in. When they approach the temple, when they approach the holy place, and they see the altar on the left side, and they know that you can probably see the blood on the altar, and they see the slaughtering on the right side where they'd open up the animals and they separate the animals out, they knew that in order to progress further, the priest needs that blood. They need to grab the blood and approach the holy place with the blood. It says in Hebrews that once a year at the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter in with the blood. And just like they would enter in with the blood, we enter in with the blood. That Jesus Christ died. That Jesus Christ paid the price. And now we can enter in. And it's a lot of times we want to stay outside. And we want to look, and the Temple Mount was, if you ever see an artist's rendition, it was quite an impressive place. And it was all uphill. And the highest point was the holy place. And as you approach, you could see, like, you know, we enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts, right? That was the Jewish court. And they would praise and they would sing songs. And the further you get, the more exclusive it would get, the more quiet it would get. And until you get to the holy place, and you'd have a few service priests there, but then the Holy of Holies. Then you'd enter in the veil, and there'd be the presence of God. And the only way to go through that was with the blood. To take the blood and enter into the presence of God. Enter into the mercy seat where the law was, where Aaron's staff was, speaking of authority. Where the manna was, where God will provide for us. We have these things, we have the presence of God, and we enter in with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we say, I can speak to God now. I don't have to be scared anymore. I don't have to wait on the outside looking up and say, the preacher can talk to me. The evangelist can talk to me. Somebody else can talk to me, but I can't. Now God is saying, no, you can. You can take care of it at the altar. You can take care of it where Jesus died for your sins. And we so often try to take care of ourselves at the place where Jesus took care of it for us. Where we enter in and before we go, we say, okay, well, I have to take care of this before I can get right with God. I have to, you know, stop cursing. I have to stop I have to stop gossiping. I have to stop murmuring. I have to stop lusting. I have to stop my favorite sin before I can get right with God, because that's how I get right with God. And God is saying, no, you can't. If you try to do that, your righteousness has to exceed the Pharisees. If you try to do that, you have to work out holiness by yourself. And that's impossible. Ask the Jews. They spent thousands of years trying to do it. They never could do it. They failed over and over again. But God is saying, my blood covers your fear. The blood of Jesus Christ covers our sin. It covers our fear. It covers anything that prevents us from going into the holy place. That God is saying, you can enter in boldly in Hebrews 4:16. There's no shame anymore. You can give it to me. Don't take care of it yourself. Give it to me. We heard a great message on Sunday about that in the discipleship class, that we would take the burden off of ourselves, and it was a word picture with Isaac, that they would take the burden, the logs, off of the beast of burden and put it onto Isaac, the son, speaking of Christ, that we would take the burden, put it onto the sacrifice, and say, you take care of this for me. When we have a besetting sin, we come to the altar. We say, Lord, you take care of this for me. I like to get right with God isn't being good people, isn't being a good person, because there is none good. You know, Romans chapter 3 tells us that there is no righteous. It almost seems like an oxymoron. Jesus is telling us to be righteous. Romans is telling us there is none righteous. There's something has to give there. But we enter in with Christ. We enter in because Christ is now our righteousness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's turn there really quick. Verse 30. Actually, starting in verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. We can't get past the altar. We can't open those 49-foot doors that Josephus said. We can't enter in because we can't boast before God. But, and I love the word but in the New Testament. It's a fun word study when we see Paul shift and we see the but, like in Ephesians when we see that. He says, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. By whose doing? His doing. Not by your doing. Not by my doing. We can't be good. It says, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Jesus is our righteousness. All the time, he's our righteousness. When we are fearful, when we go into ourselves and live in our old sin nature, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He's our right standing before God. We can claim the blood and say, you know what, I know that there's a failure here. I will say that Jesus Christ is my righteousness and enter in boldly. And I will enter in and fellowship in the holy place. And I will fellowship at the altar, at the mercy seat, where I will receive mercy in time of need. Hebrews 4:16, grace in time of need. And I will do this based on who I am in Christ, based on what Christ did for me. And there's this sweet fellowship now. And that's a one-on-one relationship. It needs to be one-on-one. This decision, the only one person can go on. It's a narrow way, right, in Matthew chapter 7. It's a narrow path. And when we go into the Holy of Holies, it's only us and God. It's only us coming before our Father who loves us. And when he sees us, he sees the blood. And he answers us. And he ministers to us. And he loves us. And he sustains us. And he provides for us. And he is our righteousness. And he says, I will minister to you. And it's one-on-one. And there's where two or more are gathered. I just kind of want to touch that really quick. And to be careful with that. It's not that, because it says, where two or three are gathered, there I am also. It's speaking of church discipline. Because the one-on-one before God is so important. And we see this over and over again. Moses went to the mountain. He approached the cloud and he went in by himself. We see Elijah at the brook, at the brook alone with God. We see Joshua going to the angel of the Lord alone. Jesus went to the mountain alone. Paul went to Arabia alone. Peter had the vision alone to the Gentiles. It was that relationship with God, one-on-one, the Father speaking to them, approaching the throne, that was the relationship there. And in order for us to even really fellowship with other believers, we need to have our one-on-one right. We need to have our relationship with God right. Otherwise, we can't give anything to our brothers or sisters. We must worship God in the beauty of his holiness. We worship God in spirit and in truth, and we go to the mountain alone. And we approach the Holy of Holies with the blood of Christ. And he changes us. And he changes us. And when we want something taken from us, it's God who changes us. It's God who's predestined to conform us to the image of Christ of Romans 8:29, right? It's God that does it. We don't do it. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is our righteousness. And to apply the blood to our lives, and that's the only way to live in righteousness, to live in holiness. We can't be righteous in and of ourselves. Self-righteousness, right? It's a terrible thing. The Bible says a lot about it. The self-righteousness, the self-righteous. To walk according to our own understanding, our own light. But to come to Christ who is our righteousness. In Romans 5:1, it says we now have peace through God. Peace with God through this justification. Right? Through being justified by Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. We were enemies of God in Ephesians. We were enemies. We were children of disobedience, children of wrath. But God, who is rich in the mercy wherewith he loved us, right? In Ephesians chapter 2. That God would do something about it. Like, so what is my issue? What is my sin? What is the thing that I just need to give up and I know that it's in my heart? What is it? Go to the altar. And keep on going to that altar and live there and trust that God will deliver because he will. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh in Galatians 5:16. Sorry, 5:16, I know it is, but I want to verify it. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Do we believe that verse? Do we believe that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fall to that desire anymore? And how do we walk by the Spirit? We apply the blood in our lives. We live in the righteousness of Christ. We live in the holiness of God. And it's nothing to do with us. It's all the grace of God. It's all the finished work. And so to have these issues and to say, like, it's just the way I am. No, that's not what God says. God says you're righteous in Christ. God says you're holy in Christ. He is your righteousness and sanctification in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't have to live in fear anymore. I don't have to live in the sin that I've dealt with for the past 30 years. I don't have to do it. God says I don't have to do it. God says if I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's hold God to his word. Let's approach the altar, approach the holy place where we can have peace with God. And we know that God's not my enemy anymore, that he's not looking to squash me like a bug. You know, we have this view of God where we think that, oh, I've sinned too much and he's gonna hurt me now. No, he chastises as a father because he loves us. But he's not dealing with us according to our sins anymore. He's not dealing with us that way. He wants us free from it, and he gives us the power to live in freedom. So to not be fear, because perfect love casts out fear. To not have a besetting sin, because God loves me, and he's called me holy and righteous, and he's entered me into the Trinity, right, in John. That as the Son and the Father are one, so are they. You know, we are called into the Trinity of God. That's a holy calling. So to think about that and to think that, you know, he became sin who knew no sin, that we may be called the righteousness of God. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And in 6:1, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He's saying he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so we might become the righteousness of God. In this grace that you're receiving from it, don't let it be in vain. Go, just let grace do a work in you. Let grace bring you to the end. Let grace free you from whatever you need freedom for. because we all need freedom for something. There's something in us. I mean, we're running around like Anika was, just kind of oblivious to some things in our lives. Let grace take care of it, because God wants to, and he will. He will take care of it all. That we have peace with God. We have peace with God, with a holy God. And he says, be holy as I am holy. And we say, we're holy because you are holy and you've called me holy. And we go forward in that. The Holy Spirit of God that came in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost fills us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit now. We can approach boldly into the throne of grace. And to not act like the Israelites there, to not look at other people and say, that's good for them. They're the holier than thou people, right? We can see them from afar off. They're the guys with the beards and the fancy gem thing around their neck. What was that called? You know, we knew the Pharisees. The Pharisees, and we can look and say, okay, no, they're the missionaries. They're different. They're the evangelists, the preachers, the pastors. And read a biography on one of these guys sometime. You'll know, like, that they were just guys. And a good missionary biography is from Jerusalem to Erie and Jaya. It's a good book, and it really talks about the humanity of some of these guys. But to enter in boldly, like, what is fear? Like what is the stuff that we deal with? We can give it to God. In Psalm 24, let's close with this, Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully. And that's Christ. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Jesus Christ. And we are in Christ. We have the mind of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:16. We are in Christ, hid with Christ in God in Colossians 3:3. We can ascend this hill. And the hill speaks of Mount Moriah, where Isaac was, the sacrifice of Isaac happened, where they built the temple, the threshing floor. This is the hill that he's talking about. Like, who can ascend the hill of Zion? Who can ascend to the presence of God? Only he that is pure. And we're not, but Christ is. And because Christ is, we are. You know, it's funny. It's the grace of God is an amazing thing. But we can ascend the hill of the Lord, and we can fellowship with God there. And when we fellowship with God, and it's not like, we have our prayer closets, our alone time with God in prayer, so that it's quiet and it helps us to really meditate. But then we have our day-to-day. And when we go into the holy place, it's not physically going into this secluded place. I mean, sometimes God will call us to that for meditation. That's great. But this is a daily 24-hour-a-day mentality that we can pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 because we have the holy place of God residing inside of us, that we can actually have conversations with people, with neighbors, with family. We can go to the grocery store, go to Price Chopper and do our grocery shopping and have a mentality that I am in the holy place of God and that I have a fellowship with God there, that Jesus is my righteousness and I can commune with him. I can have a communion with God. In the end of 2 Corinthians, Paul said, have communion with the Holy Spirit. And we have this 24 hours a day, every day, and we can be there. And if something gets us out of there, because it may, you know, like when we fail or sin or think about, you know, like if we fall, because we will fall, we rebound and immediately we're back in again. We claim the blood. We say, Lord, you love me. Lord, you forgive me. We repent and get right. And then we're back in the Holy of Holies. That's not in Jerusalem anymore. It's in us, the Holy of Holies. that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Like, do you not know, Paul said to the Corinthian church. And he said it early on, and if we look at the Corinthian church, it was kind of a mess. And he was telling them, like you're dealing with all this stuff. Don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know what really is really going on inside of you? You don't have to do this stuff anymore. You can have fellowship with God. So I just beseech us, and me, myself, I'm looking at myself here, preaching to myself, that I wouldn't give way to my flesh, that I wouldn't give Satan a foothold in my life, that I will stop thinking the thoughts that I think, and I'll just get with God because I can, and that I don't have to live in doubt and fear and sin and anymore. That I have a God who loves me, who has called me into the holy place. There's blood on the mercy seat, and that blood's never going away. We don't have to go there every year like the priest did. That blood's not going anywhere. That blood's there. And we don't have to enter in again and say, okay, well, there's new blood. No, Jesus Christ died once and for all, and the blood's there. So whatever it is, put it on the altar. Whatever it is, grab the blood and go forward. Amen. Father, I ask that you anoint these words. Father, that you would be our holy place. And I don't know. I don't know everybody's heart here. I don't know everybody's heart that's listening online, if anybody's listening online. Maybe you haven't believed. Maybe you haven't thought really much about it. But there's a holy God who is a consuming fire. There's a holy God that demands perfection. And he says, unless your righteousness exceeds, you can't see him. And he says, I love you and I did it for you. I love you and I died for you. If you've never believed that, believe that Jesus Christ is your righteousness. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that you can be right with God forever. That God loves you. He loves you. He died for you. And all he says is believe. So pray to God. Say, God, Lord, I believe you. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. Lord Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. I want to go to heaven when I die. Make me a new creation. Give me the new birth. And if you prayed that, if you thought that, if you believe that, just talk to somebody about it. Pray with somebody. Love the body. Let the body love you. Let God love you. And grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ if you believe that. Father, again, bless this night. In Jesus' name, amen.